All right, so the path forward. You're already here. You have heard that God has this wonderful standard that is, as Brother Matt pointed out, is so high, it's his own standard, which can sound uselessly impossible, but as we'll see in the next half hour here, it's actually not, because he has given us the power, as we've already heard as well. So you want to, you may be saying to yourself, okay, I get it, I have this problem, I'm glad to see I'm not alone, I'm glad to see that there's guys willing to talk about it, but like, what do I actually do? Okay, now, don't set your expectations super high. There's no magic formula, okay? One of the reasons for that is because this is a drug. And because it's a drug, it affects people differently in different ways, and people take drugs for different reasons. Some people get into drugs because somebody handed it to them and they took it, and now they're addicted to this drug, and that's all there is to it. For some people, they have some other pain in their life, trauma from their childhood, abuse, neglect, some sort of pain. Maybe they were molested, who knows? And they're using a drug as a bad way of trying to cope with the pain. In my own life, I came to find out that that was an important factor, which is why in my path, I sought a Christian counselor, Brother David Daisley, to try to process some of the things that came out in my own life that, frankly, I didn't even know about myself. I thought this was just purely a lust thing. Lust was certainly a component, but in my own case, I was escaping to pornography because of other issues that were painful in my own childhood that I hadn't ever processed before. So be aware, be open, pray, and as you talk to brothers about your struggle, the Lord will shed light on things that will be helpful to you individually. But these are wonderful things in the Word of God that apply to all of us. Okay, so there are two key components to this path. One is understanding who you are. And then the next is actively pursuing those things that are consistent with who you are. And this will make more sense as we go forward. So who are you? The answer is not in the past. It's not based on your actions. And it's not based on your feelings or your own perception of yourself. That may sound counterintuitive. If somebody were to ask you, you know, are you hungry? You would sort of know in your own body whether or not you were hungry. I remember when my wife had a baby, she had an epidural, which numbed like, you know, the lower half of her body. She had to be told to go to the bathroom because she didn't know she had to go to the bathroom. You and I, you know, we know. That's just an example of how maybe you don't know yourself as well as you think you do. And the reality is we have a new nature, as we're going to discuss, and we don't feel our way into that new nature. We get told by God what that new nature is like, and then we accept it. Okay, so who you were, okay? So here's my fake ID, name, Sami Assad, address somewhere on earth, race, Adam, status, depraved sinner, master, sin. These aren't things you necessarily see on your state or government-issued ID, but this is part of your identity. And if you're outside of Christ, you have a master. And if you're in Christ, you have a master. That may rub you the wrong way, especially in American culture where freedom, you know, or Scottish culture too, I guess. but we all have a master, okay? And we all have this race, Adam's race. And we've inherited sin from that. And your status is a sinner. And that status isn't impacted by how many good deeds you do or whatever. Okay? Now, the Bible says you have died. Scripture says you have died, but how do I know that I've died? Because I'm here living and breathing. You don't feel. You have faith in the Word of God. Okay? If God says you've died, you've died. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, if God says it, then I have to believe it. Then I have to shape my life around that truth. So the truth is that I've died. So I need to really lay hold of that and say, all right, I've died, I've died, I've died, I've died. So who am I now? Okay? So with regard to relationship with God, 1 John 3:1, we're sons of God. You and I are sons of God. Okay? The Lord Jesus prayed to the Father. If he hadn't said these words, there's no way I would ever come before you and say this. The Lord Jesus says that God the Father loves me and you as much as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a younger person, so often I was just obsessed with being saved, with the fact that I was saved. I prayed the sinner's prayer like a million times, especially after seeing rapture movies and, you know, being terrified of being left behind and all that. But, you know, you weren't merely saved. God didn't just save you because he didn't want you to go to hell. He saved you because he wants you. He wants you as his son. He wants you in his house. He can't have you as his son or in his house because of in your sinful state. So he has to save you in order to accomplish that far greater and deeper goal that he had. This is really important. Do I have a distorted view of God the Father? I did. I did for years. Part of it has to do with issues with my own father. There's a Christian author who said, I spent 50 years trying to wipe the face of my father off the face of God. And I had that experience. But maybe you have a wonderful earthly father, but somehow along the way, you the way you've read Scripture or been taught Scripture and you've seen things about the wrath of God and Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, somehow you came to conclude that God is like this guy. He's just constantly on your case. He's just like, I caught you doing it again. I see what you did. I see everything. How dare you do that? You know, I'm going to smite you. That's how I came to look at God. When I realized that about myself, I was floored because growing up in the assembly, nobody taught me that. So I put that, my own psychology created that, for lack of a better expression. Because the reality is, if you're saved, God the Father looks at me and you like that dad looks at his little baby right there. You know, I know among the brethren, I'm not accustomed to hearing people necessarily use these terms, but I think they're fully based in the truth, and my older brothers here or younger brothers can correct me. But, you know, imagine you're sleeping in bed at night and you wake up and you've got whatever remnants of whatever wacky dreams were buzzing around your head and you're not even sure where you are and, you know, your breath stinks and you can't even see. And reverently, just think about this. At the foot of your bed the whole time, there's God the Father. Good morning. I've been waiting for you so that I can enjoy this day with you. Think of the Father's heart. Those of us here that are fathers, that have children, we know what it's like to see our kids in that way. Why don't we recognize that like the Lord Jesus puts it, if you being wicked know how to give your sons good gifts, like, you know? What about the Father? The Father, okay? For sure, the Father has the most loving fatherly affection any father could ever have towards any kid. And that is the affection that your father has for you. And just like the father in Luke 15, when we mess up and when we make an ugly, disgusting mess, he's not fazed. His love for you, his affection for you is not fazed. It doesn't waver. It is not dependent on your performance or your behavior or your conduct. He's waiting. He's brokenheartedly going, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you would not keep hurting yourself in this way and others around you and losing what my son has died so that you can have. I come back, come back. And he loves us back into that repentant state. I just want us to think about these things. You may think this has nothing to do, this has nothing to do with the topic of sexual purity, but it actually has everything to do with it. Because if you have a distorted view of God and you don't understand who you are as a son of God, then you have no idea what power you have to break free. And you have no idea how badly God wants you to be free. We already had this verse this morning. You were once darkness. Not in darkness, we were that too by default, but you were darkness. But now you are light. Well, wait a minute. We heard this morning, God is light. God is light. Guess what? So are you. I'm not equating us with God, but God has given us to be light in the Lord. The verse was mentioned, him who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's huge. Again, do I feel that? Let me scan my body. No, you're not going to feel that if you scan your body. You're not going to feel that if you scan your mind. You read it in God's word and you go, amen, I believe that. It is the truth. It is what's called objective truth. Can you feel how far the sun away is from the earth? Can you feel how many stars there are in the universe? No, but whether you feel it or not has nothing to do with the reality of those things. Those are objective facts. The same thing is true of who this new nature is that has been given to you. You are now light in the Lord. So then it goes on and says, walk as children of light. This is a very powerful verse or passage. In Corinthians, Paul mentions that among the saints at Corinth, there were believers there who had all kinds of sexual immorality and struggles, including fornication, adultery, homosexuality, sodomy. Those are two different, basically same things right there. Thieves, covetous, drunken, revilers, extortioners. You know, just a quick word on homosexuality. It gets treated like the sin that is the supremest sin of all sins. Well, it's not. In my own case, I didn't struggle with attraction to men. I struggled with attraction to every woman that I could, you know, find on the internet. But if there's somebody in this room who feels an attraction, a sexual attraction to men, share that too. We won't look down on you, and we ought not to look down on you any differently than somebody like Solomon who, you know, felt 1,000 women wasn't enough, or David, or anything. It's just another variety of sexual immorality that we need to bring under the authority of Christ. There is a brother who struggles with same-sex attraction, and he says, you know, it's not about heterosexual or homosexual, it's about holy sexuality, which means if you're single, you have to be celibate. It means if you're married, you have to be faithful to your wife. It means if you're, you know, unmarried, you know, your body is not for you to do with whatever you want. It's holy sexuality. So you were all, you know, some of these things, but you were washed. You were washed. You have been made holy, sanctified. We talk about the holiness of God. Well, guess what? You don't have to attain the holiness of God. You have been granted that holiness. That is now who you are. You might not feel holy. You might not have done a holy thing yesterday or last week. But that doesn't change who you are. We'll talk a little bit more about that. You have been made holy. By who? Yourself? No. By God. So if God's made you holy, what are you going to do? Make yourself unholy? How can you undo what God's done? Can you loose the bands of Orion? Right? It says in Job. You've been given righteousness. You've been justified. When God looks at you, he says, this man is righteous. We heard with Job, a perfect man. Now, in Job's case, it was his behavior. But God could, if Satan goes, hey, did you see what Sammy did the other day? God could say, Sammy who? That just man? That perfect just man who's as just in my eyes as my own son, the Lord Jesus Christ? What's Satan going to say? Yeah, but no, sorry. You know, case dismissed. Because I'm clothed in Christ's righteousness. I didn't do these things. God has done these things. You and I can't undo them. It is objective truth. Until you say yes to these things, you can't do what it says in Romans about reckoning yourself to be dead. And then you can't act these things out. You have to know who you are before you act it out. If you don't know that you're holy and you think you have to make yourself holy, you're just gonna drive yourself nuts like I did for years and years and years. Because you can't do it. But you don't have to do it. Christ's done it. And all of this is in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That Holy Spirit lives in you. I love this expression in the King James. The Lord Jesus in John 13, when he washes the disciples' feet, and First Peter says, no, you can't do that. That's, you know, beneath you. The Lord Jesus says, well, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Then Peter goes, you know, Peter-like, and goes overboard and says, well, then wash my head and my hands, and, you know. And the Lord Jesus says, doesn't work that way. He that is bathed doesn't have to be bathed again, but just has to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, he says. So if you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are clean every whit. You are completely clean. You might not have done clean things, but you are clean. That is your identity. That is who you are. This is what God has done. So here's my new ID card. Name. I wasn't going to be so presumptuous as to give my last name as God, but I'm his son, right? So I have his last name. So I've called it Sammy, child of God, God's son. That is my new identity. I'm out of Adam's lineage. I'm now in Christ, grafted into God. My address, I am talking to you here in Mahwah and Fardale Ave, but I'm actually sitting in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That is where I really am. Race, chosen, holy. Okay, Peter tells us this. You're a chosen race, a holy nation. Status, I'm loved by the Father. I'm sanctified. I'm clean every whit. Put your picture on a card like that. Print it out. Put it on your, you know, desk at work or on your locker in school or on your dresser at home or on the mirror, okay? Don't let the mirror tell you who you are. Let God's word tell you who you are. And my master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't trust your eyes or your feelings or your experience. Trust God's word, okay? This is where the rubber meets the road. I just told you, if you'd never heard these truths before, they're right out of God's word. Go back and study them. Read Ephesians, okay? But we make the mistake of looking in the mirror and going, ooh, that guy doesn't look so good. But the mirror is not going to show you the truth. It just shows you your own perception of your own outward physical appearance. But God's word tells us the truth of who we are, okay? Here's a practical point on this topic. Have you obeyed Christ's basic instructions? Are you baptized? You know, think of the Ethiopian eunuch. How long did he wait to get baptized? He didn't. The day he got saved is the day he got baptized. It's a tangible action that will help you enjoy the truth of who you are. Okay? You go down into that water and you go, old me has died. That's what this represents. And then you come out of that water. It's the same guy, guys, you know, but the reality is, you're saying, no, I am a new creation, okay? We need these tangible actions. They help us. They help us because we're body, soul, and spirit. What I'm saying right now is feeding your spirit. Your body's just sitting in a chair. Your spirit is gaining this knowledge and information. But when you engage your body through something like baptism or breaking of bread, there's a reason why the Lord Jesus told us to eat a piece of bread and take a drink of wine. It's not because we need more carbs and, you know, more alcohol in our system. It's because that act is a physical act. It engages our body and our mind and our sort of tripartite nature. So if you're not breaking bread, you're missing out. And there's no reason for you to not be breaking bread unless you're walking in unrepentant sin. Now, if you're in this room, you're probably not walking in unrepentant sin. So don't let anything hold you back. The Lord Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." There's no age limit on this. The sooner you start obeying him in this simple, simple area, the sooner you'll find his power available in every other area of your life. You can't ignore Christ's basic instructions. Go, "Lord, I'm going to ignore what you said. That's like black and white. I can read it for myself and don't need a soul to explain it to me. I'm going to ignore that. But please tell me how to live my life and what school to go to and who to marry and what car to buy, whether I should buy or lease or where should I live and what I should do to this person and so on and how I should relate to my estranged relative or unbelieving neighbor or what." Come on. It is that basic, okay? It is that basic. Okay, this blew my mind. 1 John 3:9 says, "Whoever has been begotten of God does not practice sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he has been begotten of God." So the new nature that you have been given upon salvation, that new nature can't sin. And not merely doesn't want to sin, right? We think of this idea that, you know, my new nature wants to please the Lord. I want to do what's right. I don't want to sin. Not only does it not want to sin, it cannot. Again, Bible says it. I believe it. But then that same book, 1 John says, "But if you do sin," okay? He says, "I write this to you that you will not sin, but if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." If we sin, we have an advocate, but we can't sin. So how do I end up sinning if I cannot sin? Okay, here it is. For the child of God, sinning is completely out of character. Remember that new ID card? That new ID card is describing a person who can't sin, who wants to honor God in everything he says, does, and thinks, just like Christ, because he has Christ's nature. But he has the flesh. I have the flesh. And so I may do something out of character. It is possible for us to do something inconsistent with our character because we still have the flesh. Romans 7, right? The things I hate, I do. Things I want to do, I can't. That whole struggle. This is the important thing. Keep in mind, doing something out of character does not change my character. Okay? Does sinning turn me back into a sinner? So many times you hear believers and in Christian songs and in prayers and stuff talk about sinners saved by grace. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I used to be a sinner until I got saved by grace. Now I'm a saint. Okay, that old ID card is out the door. 2 Peter 2:22. For the sake of time, it talks about, don't let this saying, and I'm totally taking it out of the context. I just want to focus on the expression in it. It talks about the washed sow returning to the mud, to its rolling in the mud. And it talks about the dog returning to its vomit. Why does the washed sow return to the mud? Because that's consistent with its character. Okay? Pigs need mud for cooling off, like dogs pant. Pigs roll around in the mud. So you could take that filthy pig on the screen, hose it off, and what's it going to do? Go, "Yay, I'm clean every whit. Now I'm a clean..." No, it's still a pig. So what's it going to do? Back to the mud. The dog, and if you've owned dogs, I'm not a dog person. Sorry, dog people. But, you know, they eat all kinds of gross stuff. And if you have a dog and a cat in the same house, it gets even grosser. But that's what it does. It just eats gross stuff because it's a dog. Okay? Now look at that second picture. There's a guy plopped in the mud. Okay? That's totally out of character. We don't roll around in the mud. And if you were to fall into the mud, you would go, oh, man, ew, ah. And you'd be maybe embarrassed. You'd want to run home and take a shower, change your clothes, because we don't belong in the mud. That's out of character. With me? I know I'm talking fast. So no matter how many times I fall in the mud, I'll never transform into a pig. Okay? This may be very basic sounding. You like the picture I have? Okay? You can oink, 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 and you could be really good at making pig noise impressions. You can crawl around on all fours. You can plop in the mud. You'll never transform into a pig. This is crucial. Because Satan wants to tell you when you mess up. Because in my 6+ years of freedom from the bondage of pornography, I've had about 4 or 5 falls in the mud. But that didn't turn me back into a sinner. Okay? And when you have a stumble, Satan's going to go, look what you did. You call yourself a Christian? You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not holy. You better be happy if God ever even lets you into heaven. You know? What are you going to do? You're going to go up there on Sunday and teach? You're going to call out a hymn? You're going to teach Sunday school? You're going to go be a counselor at camp? You stay home. You stay home and hang your head in shame. You're no Christian. And your response is, I just acted out of character. What I did isn't who I am. I don't turn back into a sinner when I sin. I remain holy, pure, righteous, loved. Because these are things that God has placed upon me thanks to Christ. Please remember this slide. This is vital. Okay? So, what can we do? We have to cultivate that new nature. You have to know what it is and then cultivate it. You have to deliberately take steps, okay, to cultivate the features of this new nature. When you do that, the bad habits go all away by themselves. Somebody at the Clark Conference said, the Lord doesn't leave us in a void. He doesn't just tell us who we're not and leave us hanging. He tells you who you're not and who you are. Okay? Walk in the Spirit, and you will in no way fulfill flesh's lust. It doesn't say, stop fulfilling the flesh's lust, and then you'll be a spiritual person. It's the other way around. Walk in the Spirit. The new nature's diet. This is basic stuff, so it won't take up much time. The sincere mental milk of the Word. I don't know if Matt said it earlier or somebody said it. Hey, read your Bible. That's what it comes down to. You got to read your Bible. There's no freedom outside of reading your Bible. And don't stop at, you know, just the milk. Move on to me. That's what Hebrews tells us. Move on to me. You know, Hebrews says that babies live off of meat, of milk. They that's their full diet is milk. But when you're an adult, you still like milk. You still benefit from milk. Milk's still good for grown-ups. But it's not all we live off of. Here's a real practical point. Clean out the fridge. Okay, the mental fridge. Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Okay? Provisions, that's like supplies, food. What do you have in your room, on your computer, on your phone that's flesh food? It might not be filth, like gross filth, but is it song lyrics that are feeding the flesh? They may, you know, are there movies, TV shows, books? Whatever. It may not be pornography, but it's flesh food. Okay? Too big of a topic to really dive into right now, but you can mull that over. Purity does not merely mean the avoidance of explicit filth. So, entertainment. Look, I know we don't all go home and read our Bibles until we go to bed. Okay? We engage in all kinds of different forms of entertainment, whether it's hanging out with friends, talking on the phone, watching something on some device, listening to some kind of music or book. I listen to books and music. But let's be diligent. Let's be deliberate, okay? This is my all-time favorite verse on this subject. It doesn't tell you exactly what to watch and, you know, this artist is bad, this artist is good, but it says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So you have to pick and choose. You know, we live in the first world. You have so many choices. It's crazy. In many ways, that's a bad thing, but at the same time, that means there's plenty of good stuff. Pick the good stuff. The new nature's pursuits. These are very famous, familiar scriptures. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. These are things we can be doing, actively pursuing. Guys, if we're passive about our Christian walk, we're going to keep falling in the old ways. If we're active in our Christian walk, we won't have time, energy, thought to those old things. Okay, like we said about David, if he was out there fighting a war, he wouldn't have had that whole thing with Bathsheba. Okay, oh, real quick, Romans tells us, pursue the things whereby one shall build up another. That is key. That is key. All right, our practical point, are you intentional about healthy relationships? All right, do you hang out with Christians? Do you go to different meetings, conferences, meet people at camp, have good, clean fun with friends, just going out to eat, take silly selfies, go bowling, play video games together, okay? There's so much good, clean fun that you can have with other believers. And those are opportunities to build one another up, okay? Pursue righteousness, O man of God. Piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit. Strive earnestly. Lay hold of eternal. These are all verbs, action. Okay? What would be the good of Paul saying all these to Timothy if Timothy didn't have the power to do this? That would be sad, frustrating, and disheartening. That would be disheartening. But God doesn't tell us pursue all these things, these epic things. It doesn't say be a good boy in Sunday school, listen to your mom and dad. It says pursue righteousness, justice. We can all pursue justice. We can do just acts. We can all do loving acts. We can all be men of faith. We can put faith in God. We can quit our job for faith. We can take a job for faith. We can pick a college on faith. We can trust God for a spouse on faith. These are all positive action items that we can do. And Philippians tells us we have power for how many of these things? All things. All things. You are a superhero in Christ. That's my translation. You are a superhero in Christ. Okay? But what do you plan to do with that power? Okay? What do you plan to do with that power? Maybe you don't plan anything at all. Maybe you have zero plans. That's a problem. 1 Timothy 12, that's I'm missing a chapter there, but these are verses 12 to 16, chapter 4, thank you. Set an example for believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Don't neglect your gift. I'm up here exercising mine right now, okay? Yours might, somebody here might have a gift of teaching. You've never exercised it yet. Matt said this was the first time he was asked to speak, and you did a great job, Matt. Keep doing it. Maybe you have a different gift. Whatever it is, you have one. You have a superpower, a God-given, Christ-granted superpower. What are you doing with it? Don't neglect it. Be diligent in these matters, and I like this translation. Be absorbed in them. Let it fill up your time. Let it fill up your mind. Constantly think about, what can I do? What haven't I done? What could I try to do? This brother talked about exercising gift. I wonder what gift I have. Maybe I should talk to somebody about that. Maybe I should pray about it. He says to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Okay? Here's a simple practical point. Memorize Scripture. These are just some scriptures. You'll get the PowerPoint through Jesse. Just some sample scriptures you can memorize. They'll help in the battle. Plan positive actions. Planning is biblical. Man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Here's a simple suggestion. Every morning, just write out three things. Lord willing, today I will. Just three simple things, positive things in this category of righteousness, faith, love, peace, relationship. If you write down three very simple things, I just gave an example here, then throughout the day you'll be pursuing these things. You'll think about them, all right? And remember, if you plan, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You're like a DVD player. If you don't have a DVD playing that you have selected with righteousness, faith, peace, joy, Satan's going to walk up to that DVD player and shove a DVD in. He's got a program for your life. Probably no one's ever stood up and said, Satan's got a plan for your life. But it's true. His plan is to destroy it. Okay? To steal, kill, and destroy. He's got a plan to take you down. And you don't fight back by just like sitting there and doing nothing. You fight back by going the other direction. Last slide. We already talked about light. Walk in the light. Live in the open. Don't hide in the dark. Have some buddies that you can be accountable with or to. Talk to any of us who are up here. Don't just think about fleeing. One of the things that had the most biggest impact on my life was when I stopped pursuing the absence of pornography and started pursuing actual daily purity, that my eyes are not going to linger on any ladies, that my mind is not going to dwell on anything evil. Focus on that positive. Service project. Buy gifts for needy children. Work at camp. Put some money together and buy something for a chapel or for a ministry. Get creative. We have power. When we walk in that power of that character, of that new nature, the side effects will be that these old habits will go away. So may the Lord help us to walk in this path. And this is not a solo sport. This is a team sport. We're in this together. We're in this together. Don't let Satan isolate you. Let's pray. God and Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your goodness, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for us, who died, and who now lives at your right hand, who rose again and is seated at your right hand. All power and authority are his, and he is ever living to intercede for us. We thank you that you have given us a new nature. We want to lay hold of that nature. Pray for everybody here to walk in accordance with the character of that new nature. And thank you that if we stumble, our character doesn't change. We remain who you say we are. We ask your blessing on the rest of these activities in your Son's worthy and precious name. Amen.